sense of God, anywhere from film, from paintings, to statues, images of Jesus have been used for historical study, for worship purposes, or devotional purposes. Growing up, my first Bible as a child was a children's Bible gifted to me by family. And, you know, grateful for that. But of course, like 99% of all children's Bibles, there are going to be images of Jesus. It's very hard-pressed to find one without images of Jesus. And so I came from that perspective, held by many Christians, whom I still respect and still love them, who believe that as long as you don't worship the images, it's okay to use pictures of Jesus for instruction purposes, for devotional purposes. And again, I understand and sympathize with that viewpoint. And I'm willing to be patient with Christians who hold to that perspective, but at the same time, well, that perspective that says that images and books and TV shows are helpful aids to understand Jesus, understanding Jesus being human like us, to understand that He is grounded in history, that He's not just a figment of our imagination, He's not this spiritual being, that He was fully human, and therefore we should be able to use images of Jesus in His humanity for those reasons. And also saying that the church has a long-standing tradition of using images of Jesus. We certainly can't ignore that that has taken place. But what the perspective boils down to, is the intention of the heart. It's the intention of the heart and not what the Scripture says or commands. But that line of thinking also sounds very eerily similar to that of Roman Catholics. Have you ever met a Roman Catholic that said that they were worshiping Mary, they were worshiping statues of the saints or pictures of the saints? When you talk to them about the images, the first thing you're going to hear, at least from the devout Roman Catholics, are that they're worshiping Christ, that they honor Christ first. And although we can gain a wealth of knowledge and wisdom from studying church history, we have to use discernment, understanding the context of some of those practices. And not all of them were right. Not everything that was done in church history was what we should do. This is what should be our perspective. We have to use discernment. One of the reasons for the rise of images or statues was because the majority of lay people did not have access to Bibles. And this is because of economic or educational reasons. Most of them couldn't afford to purchase a Bible, and most of them did not know how to read a Bible. By the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, the distance between the congregation and the clergy was so far, was so distant, that they could not even understand what was taking place at worship, because it was mostly in Latin. The Bible was read in Latin. The services were in Latin. And so the average person had to rely on images and rituals which the Roman Catholic Church used for their advantage to have control over the people. And then guys like William Tyndale come along. William Tyndale was an English reformer during the reign of Henry VIII in the same similar time of Martin Luther. Tyndale's passion was to get the common person to read the Bible in their own common language. And when Tyndale became a priest earlier on, yes, he was a priest, although he never served in a monastery, but when he was a priest early on, he debated amongst his own clergymen. And there was one exchange about this very issue, and the opposing priest essentially said, "We don't need God's law, we only need the Pope's laws." And Tyndale famously responded, "I defy the Pope and his laws. If God spares my life, I will call a plowboy to know more Scripture than the Pope of Rome." That passion drove Tyndale to be on the run for the last 12 years of his life. He single-handedly completed an English translation of the Bible. And after completing that translation, he copied them by providentially using a brand sparkling new Gutenberg printing press. And from there, Tyndale became a Bible smuggler. He did. All the copies he made were hidden in bales of cotton and then distributed through ships across the Rhine River, which you look at, if you look at the Rhine River on the map, it's the perfect spot to distribute Bibles across Europe. And so the Lord blessed Tyndale's efforts to get the scriptures into the hands of lawyers and doctors and farmers, into the hands of men and women, rich and poor. The emphasis here that I want to draw from is that the power is not in the images, it's in the Word of God. The Spirit's power to transform hearts of stone to hearts of flesh is not in movies or TV shows about Jesus, but in the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not by the chosen. This is why the Catechism ends in placing the emphasis on the lively preaching of the Word. The Lord is building. Currently, He is building today in real time to the ends of the earth His church across the nations. And the Spirit's primary means of gathering them is through the Word that is proclaimed in season and out of season. That's why when you read the book of Acts, as the church grew in number, so the Word grew in number. The two are connected. Acts 6:7 says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly." Or Acts 2:12-24, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." The Holy Spirit does not need our help to get the message of the gospel through to people. The only pictures and images that we need are found in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's all we need, because that's how Christ designed it for His church. And even in those two sacraments that our Lord appointed for the church, what is emphasized is again the power of the Word and Spirit. And I like how one theologian puts it: in preaching, the Word is proclaimed to your ears, and in the sacraments, the Word is proclaimed to your senses. Either way, the Word is proclaimed. And we never think that we are wiser than God or think we are helping God out. All of our worship, all of our devotion to God is designed to please Him and not ourselves. And if we are to please Him, then what we do in our worship and what we do in our life must be derived from the Word and not from our good intentions alone. Amen. Amen.